I want to talk a little bit about forgiveness. How God forgives us. You know, when your children sins, you beat him, you forgive him. Isn't it? Is that the way? Amen. You when somebody does something wrong, you decide, I'm not going to be angry with him again. If he does it again, you will forgive him again. And if he does it again, you will become careful for this man. You will forgive him, but you will be very careful. Because he's dangerous. He can do the same thing again. Amen. Now God does not forgive like that. God's forgiveness is on a completely different basis. Our forgiveness, if a child does something wrong, we beat him, he's forgiven. That is man's way of forgiving. God's way of forgiveness is much bigger than that. Amen. I want to explain to you how God forgives. This happy God. In Colossians, chapter 2, verse 14. Let's read from verse 13. And you being dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. The Bible says God forgave us all our sins by blotting out all our trespasses. So there was something he did so that he could forgive us. Forgiveness was not something God decided in his heart, I'm not going to keep it against you. Forgiveness was more than what God than just saying, I'm not angry. The way God forgave us is written in verse 14. It says, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances or the writing of the law, which is against us. And he took it out of the way by nailing it to the cross. Okay. The way God forgave man was in three ways. Number one, he became a man, representing me and you. When he, as representative, he took the law, the Ten Commandments, and all other laws, and he obeyed it on our behalf, making us obedient by his obedience. That's the first thing. He obeyed on our behalf. Then we were disobedient people. So he took the sin of all of man on his body. And he took the punishment for sin. That's the second way. And the third way, according to Colossians, he took the law and he nailed it to the cross. in the body of Jesus. So when Jesus died, every man that seeks righteousness by the law has died. Jesus was born under the law. When Jesus died, he died as a man under the law. When he was nailed to the cross, the man that must be righteous by the law was nailed to the cross and died. So today there's no more a man that can get righteousness by the law. Today, in the eyes of God, there is no demand for anybody to be righteous by anything he does. Amen. I want to make use of this lady. Come here, please. I want to use her as an example. Stand here. You know, if she comes before me, and I've got a law, the Ten Commandments. Whenever she comes to me, and I judge her by that law, first thing I say, does she love the Lord her God with all her heart? Has she ever had a wrong desire? Has she ever stolen something? Has she ever lied? Oh, now I start to think, oh, she's guilty. Now I can come, I can say, okay, I forgive you. But when she goes away, when she comes again, I still have this law. Now the way God forgave us, He was doing it this way. I forgive you your sins, and that was by the punishment of Jesus Christ. Concerning obedience to the law, I obey on your behalf. And when Jesus died, He took that law and He threw it away. So that man can never be guilty before God again. When Jesus took the law away, that was how He forgave us. He punished the sins of everybody. And then He took that law that can make me guilty out of the way. The Bible says, where there is no law, there is no sin. So if there is no commandments that we must obey, how can we be sinners? Because Jesus took the law out of the way. The only sin there is rejection of this great gift. If you reject the sacrifice, you say, oh, thank you, Jesus, for loving me, but I don't want that a free gift. Rather, give me the Ten Commandments. I'm going to Exodus 20. I don't need the sacrifice. I will obey the law. That is sin. It's rejecting the love of God. The greatest love there could ever be for you was to give you the very nature of God as a gift. To forgive your sins and to take away the thing that can make you guilty. Amen. I end off with this. The Bible says, who can bring in a charge against the elect of God? What he's saying is, who can bring in a case against any of God's people? You know, if you find something wrong with somebody, you can go to the police. You bring that case there. The Bible says, who can bring in a case against anyone that believes in Jesus? Then it says a very powerful thing. It says, can God bring in a case against those that He redeems? He says, no. Not even God will find a fault with those that are washed in the blood of Jesus. That's why He's the friendly God. Always smiling. For whenever you've got something to do with God, He declares you holy and righteous. Not because He feels good, but because He took your sins away 2,000 years ago. For God to say, ah, you are not righteous, He would be lying. He would be lying. Because if you ask Jesus if He paid for your sins, He will say yes. Amen. You can go and sit. So when we come before God, we come in the name of Jesus Christ that made us holy and righteous. Knowing every time I come before God, I come with knowing God smiles over my life. The holy life we live is not to make God happy. It's simply because we are holy people. Amen.
Amen.
I want to tell the leaders, the holy life we live is not to make God happy. As Christians, we are holy. But the holiness we have is not to make God happy. It's because we are holy. The dog at the home, he barks. Not to make the other dog happy. He does not bark to make God happy. He barks because he's a dog. We don't say, oh yeah, a dog, I give you bread because you bark. No. That's what the dog does. The same with us. We don't do good things because we want to please God. No, we do good things because God made us good. You are good. You are holy. You are already pleasing to God. Because when Jesus was pleasing to God, He brought that well-being to everybody. To you. So when you look at God, you can come with the same boldness as what Jesus Christ can come before God. Amen. Do you think Jesus is scared of God? No. Jesus is not scared of God the Father. He talks with joy with His Father. For He knows there's nothing separating them. As a matter of fact, God lives inside Jesus. In the same way, I am not scared of God. And you are not supposed to be afraid of God. For He's come and shown His great love to you. And He has taken away everything that can separate you from Him. So that you can come boldly before Him. Like Wessel said, when you go to the hardware shop, you don't, you can wonder, maybe I can buy Coca-Cola there. But when you go to the cold drink shop, you know you're going to buy your cold drink there. When you go to God, you can know you can get your absolute acceptance there. Amen. Amen. Thank you.